we are in a new theme this month. We are in the theme of the gospel, which as a Christian should excite us. I mean, the whole Bible should excite us, but the gospel, I mean, this is the crunch of who we are, right? The gospel message. And maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe a friend invited you and you're like, what is the gospel? Just really quickly, the gospel is the good news. In fact, the gospel is the great news. It is the best news that you will ever hear. And that is this, that there is a God who created the world and you. And he loved you so much that he sent his son from glory in heaven to come and live on earth among his people. And he lived a sinless and perfect life and chose willingly to go to a cross to cover the sins that I would make, that you would make, the mistakes that we would make, so that when he rose again, conquering death, there is now no condemnation for you and me in Christ if we believe in him and accept him as our Lord and Savior. Just joy and eternity. So if you didn't know, that's the good news. That is the gospel. And that is what this month for us is all about. And we're going to turn in Mark 16. Jesus has just been raised from the dead and he is sitting amongst his disciples and he says this to them as one of the last things. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Simple, right? Just go and tell him. And you're like, great. Like, I'm your plan. Like, you want me to go and tell the world? But he does. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He wants us to go and tell the world. And so when we look at the life of Jesus and how he shared the gospel with people, there are a few things that I noticed. And that's this, that sure, he spent time in front of crowds, in front of thousands, gathering them together. Yeah, he spent time in synagogues and in churches, reading the word of God and preaching the truth and sharing the good news. But so much of his ministry was outworked around the table. This table that we talk of is a known symbol of family. It's a coming together place, a community where we feel like we belong. You know, all of us need to eat, right? It's a requirement for life. We have to eat food. But it fascinates me that we have created a daily habit of coming together three times a day to do it. Like, we choose to come together to a place to nourish our bodies. The table represents so many things. It represents our deep desire to be welcome, to be seen, accepted, and known. It is around the table that there's space for celebration. We celebrate around the table. Sometimes it's around the table we mourn around the table with one another. It's around the table that we share stories. We pass down legacies and generational stories so that we don't forget. It's around the table that we create a space and nurture and build relationship where people go from strangers to friends, where conversations go from surface level to deep, where there is an authentic space for people to share news with one another. The table. And Jesus demonstrates to us that it was around the table that he not only shared the good news, but he used it to live it and demonstrate it. Whether he was the host or the guest, he used something so simple to change the lives of those around him, to seek and save the lost. And I love this demonstration because what he's saying to us is that it doesn't have to be overwhelming and it doesn't have to be this big thing. You do not need an audience. You do not need a formal gathering of people, but it's using the things that you do in your everyday life to just live the gospel. You're sitting around the table anyway. Why not use it intentionally to share the good news of Jesus? Strangers sharing a meal, building relationship, becoming friends, creating space to speak life over one another, encourage one another, pray over one another, prophesy over one another. What a concept, right? Just seems too simple. But somehow Jesus used this concept and it flipped his world on its head. People could not understand what he was doing around the table. And you know, we are in a generation where we are trying to cancel human interaction. I don't know about you, but I'm really annoyed that Aldi now makes me serve myself. And at the library, my kids have to scan their own books. Even at the petrol station, you can pay for it at the pump. You can order your groceries online. You can do shopping online. I'm like, where are the people? Right? Like, where are all of the people? And there is this sacred like act that happens when we come together. We are losing the gift of hospitality and face-to-face interaction, right? And so Jesus is showing us that if we make a habit of having people at our tables, that it's pretty certain in this generation, in this culture, that it's going to flip the world on its head the same way it did in Jesus' day 2,000 years ago. There is something special about the table. And so tonight I just want to look at some of the tables that Jesus sat around, some of the people that were invited to join him at his table, the conversations that took place around them, and how he used them to share the good news. You ready? All right, we're just going to pray real quickly. Lord, I thank you that you have given us your word. We have got everything that we need right in front of us from you, Father. And so we thank you for that tonight. And as we read it together, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts, open our minds to receive from you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what you want to preach into the world, to the minds of the people that are here tonight and the hearts, so that we can go and effectively share the gospel to the world around us. Amen. Well, the first thing is this. Jesus uses the dinner table to demonstrate the radical inclusivity of the kingdom. There's a seat for everyone at Jesus' table, and he wants every single one of them to be filled, right? Jesus makes a habit of being radically inclusive when it comes to his guest list. In fact, he makes a point of it. And on the screen behind me, there's going to be a few people that Jesus sat with at the table, and here they are. He sat with his friends. You'd assume that, his family, sure, his disciples. But he also sat with the Pharisees, the lawyers, the people of high status. He sat with outcasts and prostitutes, sinners and the unclean, those with malicious intent and plans to prosecute him, tax collectors, Roman occupiers, those who would deny him and betray him, and the one who led him to his death, right? The invitation list of Jesus' table. And we read the list of people that Jesus sat with, and there's really only one theme, right? They're human. And they're all in a desperate need for an encounter with Jesus. Hello, that's me. I'm so grateful I make the list, right? That's every single one of us. There was no other theme other than, hey, you all need something that I have to give you, whether it was his great love, finding purpose and belonging, receiving healing, understanding the kingdom principles, or receiving his gentle or sometimes not so gentle rebuking. Each one was in desperate need of an encounter with Jesus, and each one was welcome at his table. No act they committed, no job they worked, no status in life, no gender, no color of their skin, no heritage, no disease, nor sickness disqualified them from receiving an invitation to sit at his table. And by sharing this message of inclusivity, Jesus demonstrates what the kingdom of heaven's going to be like, that all are invited. And that there's nothing that can revoke the invitation. Romans 8:38, it says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, rulers, things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the thing I want to ask us tonight is this, does the party that sits around our table demonstrate the inclusivity of the kingdom? Are we using our tables intentionally, or do we just dine with our friends and our family because it's easy? We know the conversation. It's relaxing. They don't challenge the way that we think. They believe the same things that we believe. Or are we using them to invite the lost and the broken, the outcast, the people that are going to question our faith, the people that are feeling misunderstood, that need community, that need belonging? Everyone was welcome at Jesus' table. Are they welcome at ours? And you know, I'm really grateful for parents that demonstrated this in my life from a really young age. I remember probably just being in primary school, and my mum and dad would always say, there's always room for one more at the table. There's always space for one more at the table. And we had kids from different backgrounds of life that would come home with us because they didn't know where their parents were, and they would take their seat at our table for a meal. And it wasn't the food they were after, but the belonging, the community. They wanted to know that someone had value on their life, that they were worthy of being seen and invited in. And as a parent now that plans our meals and buys intentionally, I wonder how many times my mum ate toast for dinner, or a bowl of cereal because I brought a friend home from school, you know? And in that, my mum gave up her portion to bring another into our home. And I'm grateful for the generosity that she demonstrated to me and how to be a hospitable person and have people come and sit in our home. But not only that, if you are a parent or someone that has the ability to have more at your table, what it taught me as a young adult was the power of the invitation. You see, my parents had the seat at the table, but it was up to me to invite them to come in, right? And so that instilled in me this sense of there's people that need to know they're welcome in my family. Like, I'm going to go and find them and I'm going to invite them because there's a seat for them at my table and I want it to be filled. Who can you invite to your table this week? You know, there are people in our worlds that will probably never be willing to step into these four walls, but they'll take a seat at your table. You are the church. You are the church. Your home houses the presence of God. You carry the Holy Spirit inside of you. Invite them to that church in your home. Invite them to a front row view of what it looks like to live a life with Jesus. People are going to be radically changed when you give them a seat at your table. So who this week can you invite to take a seat at your table? Who have you invited to church like 10 times but never considered to invite them to your home? Right? Like, come to church, it's going to be great. Come to church, people are going to love you. But like me, you know, like, right? You're the church. Your house has God in it. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. Invite them to a seat at your table. The next thing that we see from the table of Jesus is this, that it compelled evangelism. Luke 5:27-32. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, who we know as Matthew, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. Then Matthew hosted a grand banquet for him at his house. Now there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus replied to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I love this story of Matthew because it demonstrates this sense of belonging that he found in Jesus' presence, but also this, that the natural progression of encountering Jesus is that we should then go and invite people back to be a part of it with us. Here we see Matthew, right, who we believe to be a tax collector with Jewish roots, who gave up his heritage as a Jew to work for the Roman occupiers, a man who denied his bloodline, maybe his faith, to make status and wealth for himself, a man that the Jews considered someone who had betrayed their people, turned their back on God. And it's this man that Jesus says, "Hey, come follow me. Come follow me." And here's what we see, right? The Bible says that when Matthew encounters Jesus, he immediately leaves everything behind. His former life, his occupation, his status in society, his ways of living, his sins, the things that he's doing. But what's significant here is what he does not leave behind. And that's this: Matthew does not cut himself off from the people that are still caught up in his old ways of living. Instead, he throws a banquet to host Jesus. And he says, "Hey, come sit at the table with Jesus. Come and see and taste the man that I gave up everything for." If we have truly encountered Jesus and experienced the freedom that he gives us in our lives, there can be no other option than to have people come and witness in our lives. Come and meet this man who made it so easy to walk away from the life that I was a part of before. Come and see this man who has transformed me, has enlightened me to freedom and a hope that satisfies me and my soul, that could leave the things that I thought satisfied me in the dust. Now, I'm not saying to keep company with people that wrongly influence you or lead you astray. There is wisdom that we need to apply, right? But when we come to Jesus, so often we think we are to leave the sick people who are still caught up in the things that we're all righteous now and don't do in the background. And Jesus is saying, it's those people that I've come for. Bring them to me. Bring them to me and let them taste and see of the same thing you did to give up the old ways of living. Share a meal with them. Introduce them to me. Tell them of what I've done in your life, because if I can do it for you, I want to do it for them. You know, we don't have to have all the answers to share the gospel, but there is power in your testimony and people want to hear it and the Lord wants you to share it. Jesus used the table as a place where people belonged and then a place where we could offer an invitation to come and taste and see. How long we got? All right. The third thing is this. He teaches us around the table that in order to effectively preach the gospel, we have to carry the Father's heart, not just abide by his rules. Luke 14, 1 to 6, we see Jesus dining in the house of a Pharisee. And now the Pharisees have actually invited Jesus because they want to catch him out. They want to catch him doing something unlawful on the Sabbath. And Jesus knows this, but is like, hey, I'll come sit with you because you need me. And everyone is welcome at my table. So yeah, I'll come to yours. And when they're at the table, Jesus sees this man with dropsy or inflammation in his hand. And he knows that the rulers have invited him for this reason. And so he asks them the question, well, is it rightful to heal this man on the Sabbath? Knowing that their view was that, no, it's not, because it's working. And Jesus doesn't let them answer. Instead, he just goes over to the man and he prays and he heals them. And he turns back and he leads them in a healthy discussion of, well, if you had a son that fell in a ditch, would you not pull him out? Like, how is this man, this son of God, any less important to me and the Father than your family? And it was around the table that Jesus reminds us that being part of the kingdom requires us to share the Father's heart, not just abide by his rules. Could you imagine if someone walked into church tonight and they came up to somebody and they were like, I need prayer. I need healing in my life. And they went to multiple people and every single one said, I'm so sorry, but we have a whole list of things that we need to do tonight to create an environment for the Holy Spirit to come. And we're actually really busy creating a beautiful service for Jesus. So like, could you come back tomorrow? Right? Could you imagine? But basically, that's what these people were suggesting to do. And God is saying, hey, I don't want you to just tick all the boxes of this perfect Christian life and forget about the mission, which is the world around us out there. You know, we can turn up to church every Sunday. We can read our Bibles every day, only listen to worship music, only wear linen and skinny jeans, say all of the right things. But if we don't allow those things to transform our hearts, to mimic that of the Father's, then we have missed the point. Church. We have missed the point. It's not about doing all the things. It's about the things transforming us to become more like Jesus. There is a world that desperately needs us to have the heart of the Father to see them. When people come to your table, do you see the need? I love that that's the first thing it says in this account, that Jesus saw the need of the man around him. We are to have the Father's heart. You know, what good is setting a beautiful table and putting out all the expensive ornaments and the china and the gold and creating this amazing space if we forget to invite the guests? Right? What is the point? What is the point? He's saying, would you catch my heart for the people around you? It's not just about doing the things, it's about reaching the people. And the last thing that I want to talk about, and there are so many things Jesus teaches us about around the table, so go and read them. But the last thing I want to touch on is this, that it was around the table that Jesus revealed that he is the hope that we have all been searching for. In Luke 24, there's an account of two men walking to Emmaus, and it's the third day after Jesus has been crucified. And they're walking, and Jesus comes up alongside them, and I just love Jesus. Like, he cracks me up, right? And he's covered their eyes so they don't know who he is. And he's like, hey, guys, what are we talking about? And they're like, are you visiting? Like, are you not from here? And he's like, why? What's going on? He's like, Jesus. Like, have you not heard about Jesus? And he's like, who's Jesus? And they go on to say that Jesus is this prophet, and he came and he said all these amazing things, and we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped that he was our savior. We had hoped that he was our redeemer. But it's the third day and there's women at the tomb and it's empty, but we're waiting for Jesus to do his, like, I told you so, I'm alive. We're waiting for the Roman occupiers not to be the occupiers anymore. Like, we're waiting for the Redeemer to reveal himself, and we're just not sure what's going on. And they go on this walk, and it becomes nighttime, and the men say to Jesus, they're like, come and stay with us for the night. And it's at the table that Jesus blesses the bread and breaks it and opens their eyes to see that the Savior of the world is sitting right with them. Can you imagine what that would have been like for them? You have hoped for this day your entire life. Your families and your lineage have talked about this moment their whole life. And here he is, not on some great platform proclaiming that he is Jesus, the Son of the world. He's in their home breaking bread with them. And when I read this and I was like, man, what would that have been like? I was like, I actually know what that's like. Because I remember the table that I sat at with Jesus when he revealed himself to me, right? If we're Christians in here, we've all had that moment where he reveals himself as the hope of the world in our lives. And it changes everything, right? It changes everything when we go, oh my goodness, you are who we have been looking for. You are what my soul has been thirsting for, what I have been I've been hungry for you my whole life. And I finally found you. In church, there is a world out there that are starving for the hope in Jesus Christ. And they're putting it in all of the wrong things. They're looking for it in the promotion. They're looking for it in the bigger house. They're looking for it in the Instagram followers. They're looking for it in the bank account, the holiday that will just bring them rest, please. The instant gratification. They are eating from all of the wrong tables, and they are feasting day and day and every night. They're like, why am I still hungry? Why am I not satisfied? Why am I going to bed wondering where my hope is finally going to come from? And Jesus says in John 6:35 that I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Psalms 107:8-9, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds, for he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Jesus used the table to reveal himself as the hope of glory. And people are desperate for us to set the table and serve Jesus as the main course. They're starving for Jesus. And he shows us that it's around the table where conversations can take place and space is created for Jesus to reveal himself if we would allow them to come and take their seats. It was around the table that he shared the good news. And I'm pretty sure every single one of us has a table of some sort in their home. Who are you inviting to sit at it this week? Who needs a feast of Jesus in their lives? And with all eyes closed and heads bowed tonight, perhaps you're here and you didn't realize that you've been invited to take your seat at the table. And Jesus, He wants to feed you, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. He wants to be the bread of life for you. He is everything that you are missing in your life. He wants to satisfy your soul. He wants to help you thirst no more. And He's saying, would you take your seat tonight? Because it's at the table that I want to start a relationship with you. I want to get to know you, and I want to tell you over and over again how much I love you and desire to be everything that you need in your life. He paid the ultimate price for your life in the hope that you would accept the invitation and take your seat at the table with Him tonight. And so if you're here tonight, and you want to say yes to Jesus, to inviting Him in and satisfying you and helping you thirst no more, with all eyes closed and head bowed, we're not here to embarrass you, but I'd love to acknowledge you so that I can pray with you tonight. I'd love for you to raise your hand on the count of three so that I can pray with you. If that's you tonight, I want Jesus. I'm sick of hungering after things that don't satisfy. Raise your hand on 1, 2, 3. Beautiful. Beautiful. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for the hearts that are turning to you. We thank you, Jesus, for the beautiful example that you gave us of how to love well the world around us and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the one that satisfies our souls. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are always saying there's room for one more at the table. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us online. We pray you are blessed by today's message. If you want prayer for anything, you want to connect with us, or you made a commitment to Jesus today, we'd love to take this from a digital to a personal relationship. So reach out via the link in the description below. Be blessed. We'll see you soon.